Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good day, good day, good day. Welcome to the Charlie Crime Buster Show. We appreciate all of our Crime Buster audience out there and look forward for the opportunity to discuss today's program with you. My, have we got a great program lined up. I'm so excited about some of the things we're going to be sharing with you. And sometimes I don't think, well, I know for a fact we don't have enough time to get it all in, but we'll keep trying. Each week we'll have some good bits of information for you and some good tips to keep you and your family safe. Now, we call it the Charlie Crime Buster Show simply because of the fact that the word Charlie is a very common name, and it's our understanding and our belief and something that we want to try to get out to the public is that you could be a common person. You don't have to be a member of a SWAT team. You don't have to know all kinds of martial arts and this sort of thing to be effective in fighting crime and keeping yourself safe. It's just some common sense tips and some learning some skills of awareness that can keep you and your family safe. We're going to teach you that, by George, and I want you to stay right on the program and learn every week. One of the things we're trying to do is to help people understand that it is your responsibility to keep you and your family safe. Whoever had the idea that, we've got great police out there, and we do. You know, I have spent many years in law enforcement, and as a law enforcement officer, I can tell you that I work beside some of the bravest men and women that I've ever known in my lifetime out there, men and women who are out there on the line for us, and thank God for them. But you want to know something, friend? Most of the time when I was called to a scene, it was always after something had happened. Usually it was after somebody had been stabbed, robbed, raped, beaten, killed. If I had been there before, maybe I could have prevented it. So you see, it's a false sense of security to think that because we have police around us all the time, we're always protected. No, friend, it is your responsibility to make sure you take care of yourself and your family. And if there's anything we want to do in this program, anything at all, it's to get that point across that it is your responsibility, sir, your responsibility to make sure that you keep you and your family safe. So take that responsibility on today. Do not shun that responsibility. Be responsible enough to learn some things to pass on to your children and your children's children, because, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't hang together, we will all hang separately. Well, last week we had a really good time on the show because we kind of got some controversy going, and we've gotten some emails from your response. We talked about Mark Wahlberg. He says now that he's seeking a criminal pardon for vicious assaults he committed as a teenager in the 1980s because now he views himself as a, quote, role model despite some rising opposition. You see, Mark is seeking a pardon from the state of Massachusetts for an assault he committed in 1988 that left a man blind in one eye. Wahlberg, now 43, he actually served 45 days in prison. He was tried as an adult, even though he's just 16 years at the time. And now we read about him online and in the paper, and it tells us that he's always been vocal about his troubled past, but now he's a married father who attends church every day. Well, I think the email that we got, what we were simply asking you, do you think that he deserves a pardon? Do you think this man who did that terrible thing back as a teenager should be pardoned today and should have his past, the crime stricken, pardoned from the crime and have a clean record? And we had a lot of response. Some of your response was, I just don't think he should. Some of you say, hey, look, this guy's he's already changing lives, so let's pat him on the shoulder and take him on. But I got to tell you that we got more people emailing in saying that even though we commend him for what he's doing and we encourage him to continue to do what he's doing, that to give him a pardon might send the wrong message to some of the young people out there today, that they might think, well, he really messed up his life and, you know, he didn't really suffer as a result of it, so I won't suffer as a result of it. So we really had more people emailing saying they thought that he should not be pardoned than those that thought that he should be pardoned. Well, it's not an easy decision. You know, we do all certainly commend what he's doing, and here's a guy who used to be a criminal, you know, who actually was involved in assault that left a man blind in one eye, and yet he says he wants to be pardoned. He's a different man today. Things have changed in his life. What do you think? What say ye out there? Well, we asked what say ye, and the majority of you that reported in to the Charlie Crime Buster show at charliecrimebuster@gmail.com, the majority of you told us that you thought that while it's good that he's doing what he's doing, that doesn't necessarily mean that he deserves a pardon. Well, we'll leave that up to the people to decide down the line that really makes a difference, but thank you for letting us know your opinion on it. By the way, I want to let you know we are a part of the Vision Studios Radio Network. We also have other shows that you might be interested in. We have a sports show that airs Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. We also have a Spanish-speaking sports show, a show about spiritual enlightenment, Inside the Movies and More, which is about movies and pop culture, and even a show for readers and writers. You can find all of our shows and their showtimes at Vision, that's V-I-S-U-M, visionstudios.com. You can click on our project page to find the links. Now, all of our shows, including the Charlie Crime Buster show, can be listened to live or archived, and you can listen to it whenever you like. You can also listen with the Stitcher app on your phone, and you can also find us on iTunes. So we do encourage you to get the word out about the Vision Studios, some of the great programs we have, and of course we hope that you're talking a lot about the Charlie Crime Buster show as well in what you're doing and telling people about these things that are happening out there that giving you the kind of information. I call it news you can use. Hey, I like that, don't you? News you can use. That's the kind of stuff that we're giving you on the Charlie Crime Buster show. Now, we're going to be talking about a couple more things I think is very important. We got a lot of response about us talking last week about see something, say something. People wanted us to go a little further into that. We're also going to, of course, talk to you about dumb crooks. They're still out there every day. And then we're going to also talk to you, time willing, we're going to talk to you about how to keep yourself safe from a carjacking, because that's what we talked about last week. We're going to share that with you, and we hope to have time to do that along the line. Now, there's one more question I want to ask you, and we had people responding to our question last week about whether Mark Wahlberg should be pardoned or not. Here's one I want to run by you, and I want you to think about it, and we'd love to hear from you. You cannot be alive on planet Earth without knowing that there's a big ball game coming up in the next week from this broadcast, next Sunday, called the Super Bowl. And we've all heard about the foot deflation crisis. I should say crisis, anyhow, the controversy, let's put it this way. Well, I don't really want to talk about the football as far as being deflated controversy, but I want to talk to you about another controversy that goes right along with what we talk about fighting crime. There are those athletes there that are very, very famous in the spotlight, and they're very good at what they do, and then they get involved and find themselves in an illegal activity. Now, I'm certainly not saying that deflating a football is an illegal activity. It certainly is probably against the rules of the league and that sort of thing, and that should be handled internally as they handle it, but it's not an illegal activity. But there are some athletes that go beyond that, and they do engage in illegal activity. Point in case, we all know about what's happening with the NFL today and this idea of domestic violence. And we have athletes that have actually been caught on camera assaulting their wife, their partner. And so these people, we find that they do have to answer to the law, because justice needs to be served. But also, beyond having to answer to the law and to justice, they also many times are faced with a penalty in their sport. through their league or association. Now, the question is this. Is it fair that if a guy commits a crime and he goes to the court and let's say the old adage, you know, if you do the crime, do the time. And he does the time. He does whatever the court tells him to do. Should he also be punished a second time, like banned from the league or fined from the league? And there's a lot of pressure on today's society for the sports teams to get in gear with this because they think they've been way too loose in this area. Is that something that should happen, or is that a double standard? I mean, there are lots of people today who get involved in DUIs, and they get out there and they're involved in a domestic violence situation, and many times it doesn't affect the work that they do whatsoever. They pay their crime off, they pay their fine off, they spend whatever time they have to spend in jail or community service, and they go on with their lives, and they're not affected in what they do. Well, is it fair then for athletes who will pay for their crimes and then find themselves facing a second justice, if you would please, from the league's double standard? Or is that something that should happen? You see, there are those who think that if because you are in the spotlight, because you are a role model, then you need to be held to a higher standard. What say ye? What say ye out there? Do you really believe that's true? Do you think if someone has been charged with domestic battery or a domestic assault, that that should encroach upon their rights and abilities to make a living by playing football or basketball or any other kind of sport? Should they also face it from there, or is that a double standard? I would love to hear what you think about it. I know what I think about it, but I'd love to hear what you think about it. And we would like for you to give us your opinion by writing to us, emailing us at charliecrimebuster@gmail.com. That's Charlie Crimebuster, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, crimebuster@gmail.com. Give us your opinion. What say ye? Should they also be held to a higher standard and not only pay for their crime in the court system, but also pay for their crime to the league that they serve? You tell me what you think about it. We'd love opinion on that. I think we'll get some really, really, really good feedback from you, and we look forward to it. You know, there's just so many things going on in this world today, and what an opportunity. What an opportunity for us to maybe turn some things around and, you know, show people that we're just tired of these jerks out here that want to take advantage of people, these people that want to hurt and harm others, and these people who want to take advantage of others by, you know, stealing and robbing and all this sort of thing. And so, you know, I think this is a good dialogue we're having. I'm looking forward to hearing from you about that. Now, and when I say they're jerks, they're not only jerks, but they're dumb. It's time for our dumb criminal story. And I'm telling you, folks, you can't make this up. It has to be true because you couldn't even make this up how crazy some of these crooks are. Here's one. You know, nothing funnier than a dumb criminal. Don't believe us? Think about this. Mario and Miko, a pair of robbers, they threatened to shoot a restaurant owner if he didn't give them free food. Now, listen to this. Here they are. They go in. And they say, we're going to shoot you if you don't give us free food. Well, the owner told the two men that he was too busy for a robbery right now, but he asked them to come back in an hour. Surprisingly, they ended up in handcuffs. Funny? Well, I'm telling you, folks, some of these things that these idiots do out there, it is just incredible. And here's another one. Derek Mosley, he strolled into a discount gun store. With a baseball bat. Yep, going into a gun store with a baseball bat. He smashed a glass display, and then he tried to steal a firearm. Yep, you got it. He tried to rob a gun shop with a baseball bat. You heard about it's not good to take a knife to a gunfight? Well, it's even worse to take a bat to a gun shop. What happened next? Well, the manager pulled a gun of his own, pointed it at Derek, and kept him in the crosshairs until the freaks arrived. Oh, man, guns in a gun store? Oh, well, who would have thought that if you go rob a gun store that they would actually have guns in the store? They'd call it stupidity in motion. It's the only way to describe it. There was a criminal not too long ago I read about. He was confronted by a locked door, So he decided he would try to scale the liquor store's outside wall. He tries to climb up, but he falls on his backside. Then he drops gracefully into the shop from above. He gets on the roof, and he falls in and lands on his backside. So after he's in the store now, coming through the roof, he decides, now I've got to get out of here. But guess what? He can't open the front door from the inside. So the burglar, and they get this on camera, the burglar actually tries to jump back through the hole that he made in the ceiling. And you got it. He fell right on his backside. Well, eventually, the poor guy just gives up, sits down for a smoke by the door, and he waits for the cops to show up. Oh, folks, you can't make this stuff up. Dumb criminals. Well, folks, let me tell you, they're pretty smart, and we're going to help you stay a step ahead of them by learning some good crime prevention techniques to keep you and your family safe. Last week, we got a lot of attention from you regarding this idea of you see something, you say something. You see something, you say something. Very, very important for us to do, ladies and gentlemen. If you see suspicious activity, you need to report it. Because people have been doing that, we have found terrorist threats have actually been stopped in its tracks. And boy, I tell you, nothing better than hearing something like that that takes place. Now, last week we told you that there's a little acronym that you can follow. You can kind of remember this in your mind. I like to play tricks on my mind or at least get a memory hook so I can remember something. This one's going to be very easy for you to learn. It's actually taught through Homeland Security, and it's simply called salute. Salute, take the word salute. S, it means to size, jot down the number of the people, the gender, the ages, their physical descriptions. So in other words, size it up. A stands for activity. Describe exactly what they are doing. L, and the word salute, location. Provide the exact location. You know, I know that when I was a young cop being trained by a training officer, we would be driving in our county. We'd be driving down roads, and he would stop in the middle of it. He said, tell me, where are we right now? And I'd have to tell him where we were right now. And he would do that throughout the training period. Where are we right now? Where are we right now? He was very good at impressing upon me the importance of knowing that, because we might get out there and be ambushed, or we might get out there and get in a gunfight, or we might get out there and get in all kinds of trouble, and we need help, and we need it quick. And nothing any worse than to say you need help and not know where to send the help to. So location is important, even when you're driving around. Make sure you're looking for where you are. What is the road you're on? What's near you? That type of thing. What street are you on? What cross street did you just pass? So location. U stands for this uniform. It means describing what they are wearing, including their shoes. You know, we had a guy the other day who was actually a security person, and he was involved in seeing a crime take place, and he did a great job on writing his report. Everything looked great, and I mean, he went right down the line, except he forgot to describe the person that committed the crime. And that is a mistake. So try to you know, what are they wearing? What do they have? What kind of a garment did they have on? What color? That sort of thing. Including shoes. That's very important. And T stands for time. Provide the date, the time, the duration of the activity. And E, again, stands for equipment. When we talk about equipment, we're usually talking about a vehicle. What's the make? What's the color? Did you get a license plate? Was there a license plate? Was it an out-of-state or was it in-state? You know, did they have a camera? Did they have guns? You see, suspicious activity, we often recall it after an event, but we need to train ourselves to be on the lookout for things that are out of the ordinary and that arises suspicion, you see. And when people commit terrorist acts, you've got to realize a very important factor is these are people who usually live among us without appearing suspicious. And the whole time that they're trying to blend in, by the way, that's one of the reasons why the 9/11 hijackers went to Florida, because of the fact that, number one, the weather was a lot what they were used to, and there were a lot of nationalities there, and they could blend in so well, they wouldn't stand out so much. And that was one of the reasons why they went there. So keep in mind that these people could be right there by you right now. They could be your neighbor, a student, or a friend, and they could be involved in this. Now, the thing you've got to keep in mind, if they're going to do something like that, if they're going to plan a terrorist attack, they're going to either need training or they're going to need equipment. And getting that training and getting that equipment is one of the best times to let your suspicion be your guide. And that's the kind of stuff you want to look at. You see somebody, they'll usually conduct surveillance upon their target. They'll go, you know, you've heard it said in cop movies and this sort of thing. They go, they go check out the place. You know, they check it out first. They look at where they're going. They kind of look at the getaway, you know, the places, the exit, that sort of thing. And if you see this person taking pictures of cameras and taking pictures of entryways and exit ways and this sort of thing, and it doesn't look like they're just there taking, you know, a picture of one another, a selfie or anything like that, then that's a good idea that something's going on. And so what we want to try to learn to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to learn the difference between what is normal and abnormal behavior. It can be a fine line, but if you stay alert in your daily travels and your routines, you get to know these things that you're looking for. And then hopefully you can say things. Hey, by the way, you ought to know who your neighbors are right now. You ought to know the kind of cars that are normally in your neighborhood so that when there's a car in your neighborhood that's normally not there, it stands out. That's one of the reasons why a lot of times in police work they like for people to be assigned to certain districts or certain beats. The reason that is because that officer becomes very aware of his surroundings, and he knows when something's out of place because he's been there so much, he's seen it so much, he knows that that car is not usually sitting in that spot behind that store late at night. You see, he picks up on that thing. He or she picks up on that thing. And those are the kind of things that you want to look for, too, that you can see when there's cars that's not normally in your neighborhood. Check out who makes deliveries at your work and in the neighborhood. You know, they're going to build something. They're going to have material to build it with, right? So just keep in mind, folks, when we talk about staying alert, we're not talking about being paranoid. When we talk about being alert, we're talking about being aware of your surroundings, being alert to indications of possible trouble. It could be a local activity that would indicate problems in your community. You see, one of the clues that led to the recent breakup of the terrorist plot was that several of the cell members, now get this, several of the cell members were spotted celebrating in an apartment complex on the anniversary of 9/11. Now, that says something, doesn't it? And as a result of that, somebody saw something, they said something, and they were actually able to break up that terrorist plot of that cell of people because somebody saw it and they said something about it. So look for that. Controversial issues being debated. Suspicious deaths. Now, you can't usually always spot a terrorist by their appearance or the nationality or the language. We're not talking about that. You know, in fact, the New York Police Department wrote a document not too long ago that I had the opportunity to review that I thought it was really good. And the whole document basically stated that the greatest fear in America today is what we call homegrown terrorists. It's American people who somehow get converted to this crazy idea that you have the right to kill others, and you have the right to behead others, and you have the right to take over places out of force. And there are Americans that, you know, they actually, you and I have watched them, they actually would go overseas to get training, and then they come back into this world. And there are those people out there in the security industry, in the business, and those who have the knowledge that are absolutely, totally convinced right now there are cells out there right now planning terrorist attacks. And so far, you know, people have been very good to see something and say something. And we want to remember, I gave an illustration last week, you know, say you're at a national monument, you notice a person taking several photos, you see. That's not unusual, but then look at what kind of photos they're taking. They're checking out surveillance cameras. They're looking at the crash barriers, and they're looking at access control procedures, you see. Is that normal for a tourist? No. You know it's not. So you're looking for that. You know, that should at least give you a heightened sense of suspicion, and you look for that. And when you see that taking place, that's a good time to see something, say something. You know, you see these people, another good thing to look for is people that are very secretive. You know, they're at a hotel and they order a lot of room service, but they never let anybody look inside the door. They go pick up packages in the lobby, that type of thing. They might even be something as simple as being overdressed for the type of weather they're in. It could be an overloaded vehicle, a strong odor coming from a building or a vehicle. These type of things are things that you can look for that can give you an indication that something's going wrong. Another thing to keep in mind, a recent news article talked about looking for fraudulent IDs. You know, now I know that kids for years have been getting the fake IDs to drink on and this sort of thing, but if you're around somebody and you see that they want a fraudulent Social Security card, a passport, or birth certificate, then you know that person's up to no good. This is a good time to see something, say something. You say see something, say something. Now, another thing to keep in mind about terrorists is that when they're not acting alone, then they of course need to meet together with their conspirators, and oftentimes they work within a cell of people. So pay attention to visitors and guests that maybe that would arrive and leave at unusual hours. They may try not to be noticed. You can just tell they're acting in a suspicious manner. Maybe they'll park an unusual distance from the meeting to hide the meeting place. Or maybe there'll be a high number of unrelated people living together. You see, now, not all the people who maintain that type of privacy are terrorists. I'm not saying that. But people intent on doing illegal acts want to be left alone. And so when they, when they only let you into your apartment or their house with plenty of prior notice, or they might be changing their locks often, maybe there are certain rooms that are off limits, maybe they cover tables and pieces of furniture, all those kind of things are things to look for, you see. And remember, deliveries is a common method for terrorists to carry out their attacks. So you got to be aware of maybe a vehicle that has a hazardous material parked or driving in an inappropriate area. Maybe unusual deliveries of chemicals or fertilizer, unattended bags or boxes in a public place. All of these things, folks, are something to see. You see something, you say something. You see something, you say something. So much today, we're almost coming to the close of the program, and I've barely gotten started. We haven't been able to hit the carjacking today, but I promise you next week we'll talk about carjacking, how to prevent a carjacking. And by the way, friends, I was just looking before the program today at just the daily news, and already in Houston today, there's been a carjacking. There was another, I saw four or five or six of them. Just every day you see carjackings going on. This is something you need to be aware of. And so let me encourage you to be a part of the program next week as we are going to talk about carjacking. If you want any more information or have any questions about things that are happening with terrorist activity and things to look for, or you have suggestions on the program, please give us an email at charliecrimebuster@gmail.com, charliecrimebuster@gmail.com. And don't forget also, my friend, to please weigh in on our controversial question today. Should athletes who already pay the price to justice also have to pay a price in their league or their team or their association that they're associated with? Is that double standard? Or should we expect more of them? I'd love to hear from you about that. So please take the time to email us at charliecrimebuster@gmail.com and tell us what you think about that. It is important to get a good dialogue going, and thank you for how you've been responding from time to time. Now, remember, you can find all of our shows and their showtimes at visionstudios.com. That's V-I-S-U-M, studios.com. Visionstudios.com. Click on our projects page and you'll find the links. Now, all of our shows can be listened to live or they can be archived, and you can listen whenever you like. You can also listen to us with the Stitcher app on your phone, or you can find us on iTunes. Please get the word out and let's help people keep safe in this crime-filled society. Till this time, next time, same place, this is Donnie Cantwell for the Charlie Crimebuster Show, encouraging you to stay safe.